I meant Eagle Services versus H2O. Sorry, cards were stuck together. So, Mr. Borsia?
May it please the court. My name is Jim Borsia. I represent the defendants in this case, H2O Industrial, Don Brammer, Carl Taylor, Donna Singh, and Michael Nyloff. The issue in this case is whether the defendants are entitled to attorney's fees for defending a copyright case in which they prevailed. This case was a hard-fought case for over 4 years, and at trial, the defendants obtained judgment as a matter of law. The plaintiffs obtained no relief in the case. I think the first issue that the parties differ on appeal is what is the standard for awarding attorney's fees to a prevailing defendant in a copyright infringement case. This Court has made very clear, I think, that the standard is there is a very strong presumption for a defendant who prevails in a copyright infringement case that they are entitled to attorney's fees. The plaintiff's position is, contrary to Assessment Technologies, that unless there is a frivolous nature to the case, that presumption does not hold. I think since the appeal started in this case, there's been a decision, Riviera Distributors, which decided in February of this year, which makes clear that frivolousness is not a requirement for that presumption to take place. And in fact, there is a very strong presumption, regardless of whether the case is frivolous or not, if a defendant prevails.
Did the magistrate judge find that this was a frivolous case?
He did not. Our position is that was not a necessary requirement. The issue was, at the outset, if you have a prevailing defendant, you don't need to show frivolousness to show that you're entitled to the presumption, the very strong presumption, of being entitled to attorney's fees. And in this case, we did present an argument that we believe the case had
a found that the presumption was rebutted here, didn't he?
Well, I don't think he really did that. I mean, if you look at what he did, is he applied the Fogarty factors. There was a long discussion in the opinion about the fact that he did not find it to be frivolous, that he did not find it to be improper motivation. But there was no real analysis of why this case should be any different and why the very strong presumption here should not hold. And I think it's very clear that the two most important factors that this Court has said in terms of whether or not a party is entitled to relief for attorney's fees is, number one is, did the party obtain any relief? Here there's no dispute the plaintiff obtained no relief in the case. And the second factor is the strength of the prevailing party's case. Here, the defendants were awarded judgment as a matter of law. Under those circumstances, I submit that in that situation, the defendant's case here was very strong. They did not have to present any evidence at trial. They were awarded judgment as a matter of law. And therefore, not only their very strong presumption, but also the two most important factors, this Court has said, in terms of awarding fees in these kind of cases, were met here by the defendants.
Mr. Borsia, did the magistrate judge find that there was an infringement?
Did not. That was still an issue in play at trial. This case involved kind of a unique situation where the plaintiff asserted a copyright in safety manuals that were basically regurgitations of OSHA manuals, of OSHA regulations. And the plaintiff's theory in the case was that there was an infringement of copying. That was still at issue at trial. We did not present a defense in the case because the court awarded judgment as a matter of law. The plaintiff did not submit evidence of damages. In this case, the plaintiff's damage theory was solely one trial. The only theory was that they were entitled to all of my client's profits because they had this safety manual in-house. Despite the fact the manual was never sold, they had no evidence the manual was given to any customers other than customers who they manufactured to get the manual from us. And their theory was really, and that's why we argued that we believed it was frivolous, that you get all the profits just because you had the manual in place at your facility because you could not have been in business without having the manual.
Right. So you're arguing their suit is frivolous, aren't you? Because if you sue for damages and your claim for damages is frivolous, even if your underlying claim for liability is not frivolous, it's a frivolous suit, right?
Well, that is certainly an argument we made, Your Honor, and I think we didn't need to go there. My point is the very strong.
No, I understand your argument. You don't have to show frivolous. I just wanted to whether you were conceding it was non-frivolous or just saying even if it were non-frivolous, you would still be entitled to attorney's fees, but that you believe it was frivolous. Because, as I say, you can have a frivolous suit because there's absolutely no injury, even if there might be a violation of a law.
That was our position. And I think it blends in because one of the arguments you need to get into in the fees issue is, what was the strength of the case of the party who lost? And we, of course, argued their case was not strong. And part of that is we believe that their theory was a frivolous theory. The district court thought it was a novel or complex area of the law. I don't think it was. The issue is you have to show in a copyright case, if you're going to try to get profits, that there was revenue attributable to the infringement. There was never any evidence here of that taking place. These manuals were never sold. There was never any evidence of any customers getting these manuals and actually hiring us. And what was their theory of liability? They should get all of my clients' profits since they started business. Simply because
I think their argument was that you'd have been paralyzed if you didn't have the manual. You know, you'd have to shut down. Isn't that the? I mean, that's essentially the argument. You'd have to shut down if you didn't have the manual.
And their argument is based upon OSHA, which does not require you to have written safety manuals. You have to have safety procedures. But there is no requirement to have written safety manuals in place. And there is no statute they've cited, and they couldn't show it at trial, that we had to have, under OSHA, written safety manuals in place.
Okay.
And also the remaining time for rebuttal. Thank
you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bosch. Mr. Katic?
May it please the Court, perhaps I ought to start by answering one of the questions that was asked earlier as to whether the court found any infringement. The court itself, the district court, found in its order denying the petition for attorney fees that the plaintiff had a copyrightable interest in its manual and possessed...
Sure, but look, this is the thinnest copyright I've ever seen, right? You take the regulations and you change the name of the generic employer to your name, and you add a few other things. Now, maybe you can copyright these little additions, but it's so thin. Why would you ever bring a suit on the basis of this? You couldn't possibly get damages for it. What possible injury could you show? Or what profit?
Could.
I mean, why? I mean, look, they've shown they didn't show the manual. They didn't need the manual. If they had discontinued the manual, they'd still be, bound by the regulations. So what? How could you have ever thought you'd get any money out of this? Well, it looks like a suit you brought because these guys left you and they set up as a competitor and you want to make life rough for them. So you sue them. But I don't see how you could have ever have thought you would get damages.
Your Honor, the district court did find that our manual was a copyrightable compilation.
So what? Look, there are a whole bunch of copyrighted and patented things that are worthless. They have no value, right? And no one brings a lawsuit in good faith who doesn't expect to get a benefit from it, other than embarrassing or burdening or harassing a competitor, right? You have to have some other interest.
In this case, we were not harassing a competitor.
Yes, you were, because you couldn't ever have thought you could get damages. What earthly damages could you get from an infringement that they didn't use to get customers?
Well, Your Honor, that was an issue in the case. Everyone testified at the trial that the manual is used for marketing purposes, but
they didn't use it.
There is testimony from Mr. Nyloff that's contained in the appellant's appendix that they developed it for marketing purposes.
Maybe they did, but apparently they didn't show it to anybody.
Well, they said they admitted to showing it to some people
and getting business.
The question was how many. But the central issue here was. And where I beg to differ.
Look, what's the central issue? Look, the reason we've said, and the Supreme Court has said, that you don't have the asymmetric presumptions that you have in civil rights suits is that unlike a civil rights suit, in a copyright suit, ordinarily the parties are on a par in terms of resources, and in fact, often the plaintiff in a copyright infringement suit is the big guy and the defendant is the little guy. So in this case, why wouldn't the fact that a defendant in a copyright case wins a clear victory, matter of law, why wouldn't that be enough to say, well, yeah, you have to pay the fees. You brought a silly suit, now you have to pay. I mean, isn't that what we've said in our wire data case?
For several reasons. Primarily, being an indirect profits case, and we're entitled under the Copyright Act.
You don't get this indirect profits stuff. Look, you can sue for restitution, which means if you can show they made profits from this manual, yeah, you proved an infringement, you would be entitled to profits. Now, your copyright is so thin, it would be really impossible, but as in theory, you could do that. But your theory seems to be different. Your theory seems to be that if they hadn't had the manual, they would have had to shut down. Isn't that what you're arguing?
The theory was that
Is that your theory?
The theory was that
Is that your theory? I'm asking you a question.
Yes, the theory was that OSHA
Yes, well, that's ridiculous because the OSHA doesn't require that they have a manual that they show people.
They require, Your Honor, that all of the safety procedures that are to be in place and that are required by OSHA be in writing. OSHA doesn't use the word manual, but when it says that the procedures
well, what does
are
this
to be
have
in writing.
To do with what does this have to do with copyright?
Well,
they can have their procedures in writing, right, without infringing anybody's copyright.
They didn't. They took.
Well, so what? Look, the purpose of a copyright is to vindicate principles of intellectual property, protect your intellectual property. So if they used your intellectual property to persuade people, you know, to buy their products, so that's one thing. But the fact that they might have used your intellectual property to comply with some regulation that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, creativity or anything of that sort, it's just irrelevant. It's not copyright injury. It's some other kind of problem.
Compilations, Your Honor, can be creative.
Yes, but the point is that OSHA doesn't require people to have compilations, right? So if they took, if at worst the defendant took a shortcut and used your description of procedures for them, you know, that might be theft of a trade secret or misappropriation or something, but any harm resulting from it wouldn't be the kind of harm that the copyright laws are designed to prevent, because the copyright laws are designed to protect, you know, the creation and dissemination of intellectual property.
Well,
compliance with OSHA.
It has
nothing to do with copyright, right?
The district court in this case did find on the fourth day of trial that we had presented a sufficiently causal nexus between the infringement and their profits. What happened in this case was, after thinking about it overnight, the district judge on day five of trial changed his mind. And the reason he changed his mind, and the only reason was, he got hung up on the fact that OSHA could not itself, as an administrative agency, shut them down, but had to seek judicial intervention to be able to do that. And his opinion was, because OSHA had to seek judicial intervention, it would have been a court shutting them down as opposed to OSHA shutting them down. Now, in my view, I disagree
well,
with that.
You didn't appeal, though.
I disagree with
you,
that
you
position.
You didn't appeal.
No, we did not, Your Honor. This case
so
is
what are
a,
you talking about disagreeing with the position?
This case is a costly case on both sides.
Anyway, if they had to go into court, it means that they'd have plenty of time to do their own manual. All the manual requires is copying the CFR. That's all your manual
Which they didn't do. And our manual
Yes, I know. But look, how difficult would it be for them to copy the CFR and put their name in the way you did?
They would have to know what sections to copy.
Oh, please. They'd have to know what sections to copy. Look, they can look at your manual. They're allowed to do that. And they can look at the sections, right? and they get the section. They go online, get the CFR, download it, change the employer to their corporate name, and they've got your manual.
But they didn't do that.
Well, so what? It's so trivial. Why does anybody bring a lawsuit for that? Except they're your competitors. You're harassing them.
I could ask why.
You're trying to put them out of business with a lawsuit, with a worthless lawsuit.
We weren't trying to put them out
of business.
Of course
you're trying to put them out of business. Why would you sue? Why else would you sue?
To get them to stop using our documents.
Why do you care whether they use it?
We invested a lot of time.
No, you didn't invest a lot of time. What, in copying CFR and then changing your name?
No, we hired a consulting firm that came in and...
Okay, so why didn't you sue for your damages?
We couldn't prove actual damages because it's very difficult.
Well, why? You said you spent all this money creating your manual.
It's very difficult to determine what business we specifically lost.
You didn't lose any business. You didn't lose any business.
We don't know that.
Yeah, you didn't lose
any
business.
We don't know that.
If you thought you'd lost business, look, whenever someone sues for copyright infringement, they sue in the alternative for their damages and for restitution. Your restitution claim surely is not more speculative than your damages claim would be.
We did originally sue in the alternative. We just, during discovery, it became difficult to find out and trace specifically what business we may have lost. We might have had to talk to thousands of customers and potential customers out there. But the law contemplates, again, that if you can prove the connection, causal connection between the infringement and their profits, that you can recover their profits. So we're given the alternative of obtaining actual damages or suing on the basis of an indirect profit situation. We did the latter because we couldn't prove the former. I see my time is up.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Caddick. So, Mr. Borsia, how much time? A few minutes. Yeah, you have several minutes.
Three brief points. Number one is counsel talked about the fact that this manual was shown to people. It was only shown evidence to two people, that is, people that they actually set up, customers or acquaintances of theirs that they set up to have to contact us to say, ask for their manual. So no potential customer, actual customer, people that they set up to come to us and try to facilitate this lawsuit. Second is, counsel said, well, we have talked to thousands of customers. They subpoenaed more than 50 of our customers asking for all the transactions and documents. Many of those customers, because of that, stopped doing business with my clients. So their motivation was absolutely as a competitive advantage. Finally, look at who they sued in this case. They didn't just sue H2O Industrial. They really thought the theory was H2O shouldn't have been in business. Sue H2O. But they sued Mr. Brammer, Mr. Taylor, Ms. Sang, Mr. Niloff, and Mr. Toth, who was also previously dismissed. They sued all those individuals, all former employees of theirs. This was a strike suit against former employees who were set up shop to compete with them, and the absolute motivation was to put them out of business. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case.